Good morning. We begin a new series today, Written and Read, Discovering Jesus Through the Teachings of Jesus. And we'll be looking at the actual words of Jesus during this series, which will help us to be open to what is Jesus teaching me in my own life, and what is my response to these teachings of Jesus. So with that in mind, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the teachings of Jesus. And we pray today that where there is resistance, we might remove that resistance. Where there is despair, we may find hope. Where there is defensiveness, that we might be open. Wherever we are, we pray that we'll be open to hearing your word for us today. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning, I wanted to share with you that about almost 2 weeks ago, I went to the dentist and had some pretty major work done. Oral surgery, they call it. I was a little bit nonchalant about it until it was done. And I was leaving, and I was told, don't eat and don't speak for a week. That was news to me. I knew it would be a little bit of a recovery time. So I wasn't worried about last Sunday. We've got wonderful pastors. Faith did a wonderful job preaching. I wasn't worried about that, but I found that even, and people say I'm quiet, that it's hard to go a week without speaking. But I did do a lot of listening, and I did a lot of just observing, and that was helpful too, coming into Lent with a more quiet attitude than I normally do. But I'm raring to go today, preached at 8 o'clock, and all is well, and thank you for your prayers. These letters in red tell us something. If you're not really following what I'm talking about by the red letters of Jesus, there are Bibles where the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have the actual words of Jesus in red. Do you have one of those Bibles? You've seen them, if you don't have them perhaps, or maybe you'll look this afternoon and find one. But the four Gospels have the words of Jesus in red. So they're especially important to us. In the book of Acts, there is also one reference in red letters. In the book of Revelation, there is one reference in red letters. But for the most part, this is a feature of the Gospels, the actual words of Jesus. And so we're hoping during this series that we will pay closer attention to the actual teachings of Jesus, because I cannot think of anything that is a better investment in preaching and teaching and in the life of the church than investing in these words of Jesus, learning from them. Hearing these words, applying these words to our life, hearing what God is saying through these words. We live in some times that are difficult and confusing. And as we experienced on Ash Wednesday, we live in times that are tragic. And again, in Parkland, Florida, 17 people, 16 young people and an adult were killed, murdered in our state. And the irony of this photo with the ashes, the cross ashes on the forehead here of this young woman tells the story. This happened while this could have been anywhere, any place, and we were here having Ash Wednesday services similar. And we were reminded once again of the presence of evil, the presence of horrific acts that take away human life. And certainly our prayers this morning, we want to be in prayer for the families that lost loved ones and for this community in high school and all the devastation that this has caused. We want to pray for the victims and pray for the families and pray for all involved with this senseless act of violence, and pray for our country and world in such times that these acts of violence will end, and that we'll be in a better place. All the more reason for us to focus on these words of Jesus, these letters in red that teach us so much. Now, this teaching today that we heard Ron read for us is a very significant teaching, obviously. Jesus said, if you're going to follow him, you must take up your cross and follow him. If you're going to follow him, you must take up your cross. He also says something that gets our attention, that if you do not hate your father and your mother, which is what the wording says in some versions, if you do not hate your father and your mother, you cannot be his disciple. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, this would be one of those teachings of Jesus that Herschel Sheets, in his book written years ago, would have described under the category when Jesus exaggerated. This is one of those instances to make a point. Jesus exaggerated to make a greater truth very evident. The word hate is not the way we think of hate. Rather, it is showing more respect for your father and your mother, your brother than sister, than you do to God. It's a practical teaching on putting Christ first in our lives. So Christ is not just to be a part of our life or a part of our ensemble of relationships, but he is to be the ultimate relationship in our life. And we know in following Christ that we can love our father and mother all the more if we put Christ first. It's not an abandonment of the commandment where it says honor your father and mother, which is one of the big ten, obviously. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. So Jesus is making a point here about following him is not easy, and we even have to put following him above our relationships with our family. Now, why would Jesus say such a thing? Because we can always use our family as another excuse for not following Christ. In this 14th chapter of Luke, for example, to understand this passage more fully, we look at the whole chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter. It's an interesting chapter. It precedes the 15th chapter, which teaches us about the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son, the prodigal son, the lost elder brother. And in this 14th chapter, there it is filled with teachings. And the central theme of these teachings is, what is it like to follow Jesus Christ? What is the cost? And one of those teachings about in this 14th chapter is about the Sabbath. And Jesus said, if you have an ox in the ditch, you have to take care of that, don't you? And that's if it's on the Sabbath, you have to take care of the ox in the ditch. That's in the 14th chapter. Later in this 14th chapter, there's a story told about when somebody invites you to the front table, wait a while and make sure you're supposed to sit at the front table, because it's going to be humiliating if you walk to the front table and there's no place for you, and you have to go back. And you know, that's actually happened to Karen and me a few times. When I was a superintendent, they never made a place for the district superintendent. they'd always insist we'd come sit at the front, and we'd always have to look and say, there's no chair designated for us. We've got to go back now, and we got to go find a place and sit with the common folks out here. But Jesus said, isn't this interesting, in the same 14th chapter about taking your cross up and following him, it's also this teaching about don't be so hasty to go up and find a prestigious seat. Wait your turn. See where you need to sit. Later in this chapter, there's a parable about a great banquet. And the host has specific people he wants to come, but they don't come. So then he puts out the word, whoever will come. Go out there to whoever. And the hall is filled with guests, but it's not his first list of people he invited. And such is the nature of the kingdom of God. Jesus' invitation is to whoever will accept it and come and follow him and take up their cross. We have this teaching about if you're not willing to love Christ more than father and mother, you cannot follow him. So that leads us to this text. And there's a couple of points from this text I'd like to present to us today. First of all, this following Jesus and taking up our cross, there's a cost involved. There's a cost involved in this act. And we need not overlook that. Something is required of us to follow Jesus. It's not just on autopilot. It's not a one-time decision where once we make that decision, the rest of our life and our navigation is determined for us. No, it's a daily decision, and we have to count the cost. Now, it's one of those costs that once we make the sacrifice and once we give something up, we're glad we did. There's reward to choosing wisely and choosing to following Christ. It may be initially difficult, though, to pay the price, but there is a price to pay. There is a cost involved for this discipleship. Jesus is saying we have to take up our cross to follow him. There's a cost in taking up our cross. Now, I grew up in a home, or rather, my adult home was three daughters and one wife, four women. One of them's here today. And I learned a lot about cost in those years. In fact, there were days where I just kind of stared like a deer in the headlights at them when I heard about the cost of things. And two weddings so far in our family, and I really had sticker shock with those. Though I'd officiated at so many weddings, it still was so different being the father of the bride. And the cost just seemed outrageous. But yet, because of my relationship with my daughters, my wife, it's always worth it. The cost is always worth it, whatever it cost. In our discipleship with Christ, we may be initially reluctant to follow and do what Christ is asking us to do, but it's always worth it. And so we're invited today to leave our reluctance, to leave our hesitation, to leave our resistance, to leave our apprehension, and to follow Christ. Not worry about the cost. Give of ourselves fully to Christ, first and most of all, and follow him. The second thing Jesus teaches in this passage about the cross is that we must carry the cross. We must be willing to bear the cross. Now, this could be, some of us may feel like in our lives right now, we're having to bear a cross. We have a cross to bear in our life. And I would like to just say this as a part of our tradition as Methodists and Protestants. There are times where following Christ not only cost us something, but we have to carry a burden. We have to carry other people's burdens. We have to carry our own burdens. It's not always easy to bear the cross and do what Christ is calling us to do. But again, just like the cost is always worth it, when we are committed and we carry the cross, we will see God's will revealed in our difficult circumstances. Now, it's not always easy. And I think about that passage from 2 Corinthians 4:8. With a week like we've had with the shootings in Parkland, Florida, sometimes we need to remember that being a Christian, being a disciple, is not apart from trouble and tragedy. And here's what Paul writes. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but we are not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive, now always, we are given away to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work within you. We just came through Ash Wednesday, and one of the teachings of Ash Wednesday is when the ashes are imposed on our forehead is repent and believe the good news. And part of that is difficult for us to believe in following Jesus, that when we give ourselves to Christ, that even out of the ashes of tragedy, even out of the ashes of difficult and maybe impossible circumstances, new life can come. But that's the teaching of the gospel. Repent and believe the good news of the gospel. Out of tragedies, out of difficulties, out of even death comes new life. This cross that we carry, it gives us life. Even though it may be a burden to carry that cross for others, a burden to carry the crosses we are having to bear, but we carry it because God's glory will be revealed as we carry the cross. Now, the cross is very significant in our experience in the Christian faith. I happen to keep crosses nearby pretty regularly. This is a cross that I keep in my office nearby. It is a cross that was made by Fred Haushalter years ago. He made this cross out of old church pews. So that's one possible use out of old church pews, make crosses out of them. But he was very generous in giving these crosses away, much like Ron Gross has given many crosses to people here at Shalimar. It's a wonderful expression of God's love to have a cross that we can see. But this cross, when I hold it, I think about what I'm going through that particular day. I'm thinking about what's ahead. I'm thinking about what's behind. And this cross, focusing on Jesus' love for me and the cross, helps me with whatever I am facing in a given moment. These crosses are reminders that's who we are as Christians. We are people of the cross. Here in this sanctuary, the focal point is the cross. Notice it draped with the purple drape for Lent this morning. It is a focal point for us to remember this is central to our beliefs and our gospel. That Jesus Christ endured the cross for us, and he invites us to take up our cross and to follow him. Years ago, there was a poem that was written about the cross in the pocket, and I'd like to share that with you by Verna May Thomas. Some of you have a cross in your pocket. Here is what she writes about carrying a cross. I carry the cross in my pocket, a simple reminder to me of the fact that I'm a Christian no matter where I may be. The little cross is not magic, nor is it a good luck charm. It isn't meant to protect me from every physical harm. It's not for identification for all the world to see. It's simply an understanding between my Savior and me. When I put my hand in my pocket to bring out a coin or key, the cross is there to remind me of the price He paid for me. It reminds me, too, to be thankful for my blessings day to day and to strive to serve Him better in all that I do and say. It's also a daily reminder of the peace and comfort I share with all who know my Master and give themselves to His care. So I carry a cross in my pocket, reminding no one but me that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, if only I'll let Him be. This is the beginning of Lent. It's the first Sunday of Lent. If you do not have a cross to carry, I mean one tangible, find one. Put it in your path each day. Perhaps there's even a cross near you that you can observe to remember the love of Christ that He has for each of us, His death on the cross, His grace given on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and also this call of Jesus to take up our cross and to follow Him. Now, one other word today is that we are called to follow Christ. And what does that mean, to follow Christ? I see this as walking in the shadow of the cross all the time, to being aware that everything that's going on in our life is under the shadow of the cross. There are no life circumstances beyond the cross. Christ's grace is sufficient for our every need, to forgive us, to cleanse us, to make us whole. The cross is the great equalizer for everything we can experience. Now, this particular shadow of the cross is real. It is the shadow that, from our bell tower, that is cast over Old Ferry Road over certain times of the year. And interesting, for a half hour or an hour a day, all the traffic that goes back and forth on Old Ferry Road has to ride through the shadow of the cross. Now, isn't that great that this church has kind of an accidental witness to where the shadow of the cross is actually cast for our community? But even better is the shadow of the cross that we take with us in all of our life, in all of our circumstances, that we are always walking in the shadow of the cross. What this cross means to each of us, the salvation of Christ, it's good news for the world. So Christ calls for us to take up our cross and to follow Him, to walk with Him and to follow Him all of our life. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank You for Jesus Christ, who during His teachings, during these words, He knew that He was heading for the cross, but yet He continued to teach the good news of the gospel. So we pray today that we too might find strength to bear the crosses that we are bearing, the crosses for others that we are bearing, and that we might be heartened that we're in good company. We are in Your company, and that You're walking with us. And help us to look ahead and see the shadow of the cross in front of us, and to know that we're covered by this good news of Christ in all we do. Help us to follow you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.